Amazon has started collecting sales taxes in every state in which there is a sales tax. That's a departure from the past when the online retailer balked at collecting sales taxes. That includes here in Arizona. But the company has been expanding its physical presence in states, which has bolstered arguments that it should pay sales taxes just like brick-and-mortar retailers. This is something Amitabh Sinha studies. He's an associate professor of technology and operations at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. And I asked him how much of Amazon starting to collect these taxes has to do with the fact that it's increasing its physical presence in states in order to provide some of the services it's now trying to provide.
I think it has a lot to do with that. So if you go back to the history of this, about 15 years ago, Amazon deliberately chose a strategy of not collecting sales tax and locating in states that were, you know, low tax states and so on. At that time, it was developing the e-commerce market, and this was important to be able to offer customers a lower total price by not having them to pay sales tax. But the cost of that was that it would take a longer time to get to the customer. Now, two things have changed. One, Amazon has led this expectation among customers that they want the products right away, even if they buy online, which forces or, you know, allows Amazon to build facilities much closer to the customer and sort of avoid this battle of sales tax by just paying up the sales tax. And two, many more customers are now much more loyal to Amazon with the whole Prime program and so on. So they do less of comparison price shopping. They're more locked into Amazon, and so Amazon does not need to try and push this idea that their products are cheaper because you don't have to pay sales tax anymore.
It's interesting that consumers maybe don't care so much about paying or don't even notice they're paying sales tax now.
That's exactly right.
As long as they get it in like 2 hours.
If they can get it in 2 hours. And I mean, there are studies nowadays, news reports nowadays, that show that the total price paid if you buy something from Amazon, even if you're a Prime member, is no longer the cheapest in the market. But there's, you know, sufficiently many customers who are locked into Prime or who just like the convenience of buying from Amazon that they don't even care about that anymore.
Is this something that Amazon can do because of its size and scale? I mean, do you think there are other online retailers or even brick and mortar retailers who have a significant online presence who might be following this model as well?
Absolutely. So Amazon's size and scale plays to a great advantage. The big nationwide retail chains, they also have the size and scale to be able to compete in this way. So for instance, if you think about Walmart or Target, many of them use a significant fraction of their store network. I think for Target, it's about half of their store network to fulfill online orders, in addition to many online orders coming straight from warehouses and so on.
Do these kinds of moves, in your mind, sort of blur the distinction between e-commerce and traditional brick-and-mortar commerce?
Very much so, and that's what leads to this whole world called omnichannel, right? So in this space, this is called omnichannel retail, which means that from a customer experience side, there really is no sort of it's a seamless integration between brick and mortar and online. For example, I could be in the brick and mortar store, open up my phone, and I personally have done this, a comparison shop with the online price of the same company, I'm not even changing companies, and prefer to just order it online from the store shelf, from inside the store premises itself, or order from a rival retailer. And you could order online while you're sitting in the train, but then pick it up from the store counter, sort of the click and collect model, or you could order online and then have it delivered at a pickup locker at a different location. So this blurring of channels is what the industry likes to call omnichannel, that it's all one big sort of mixed channel.
And is all of that predicated on the ability of the retailer to get the product to the buyer more quickly than they would have been able to in the past?
Very much so. More quickly as well as more cheaply and in a way that the consumer actually wants.
We've seen already with the sales tax debate that there are sort of policy implications to how Amazon and other online retailers do business. I'm wondering, as this becomes more and more common, are there other policy issues and policy implications that lawmakers either on the state level or on the federal level are going to have to consider?
So on the employment side, if you look at just the last 1 week, there have been reports in both the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg about the decrease in retail employment. There are many retail chains that are shutting down or being sold and so on. At the same time, there's an increase in warehouse employment. Right? So there's a shift in the employment landscape within the retail space. That certainly has some policy implications, or at least certain societal implications, because retailers are customer-facing, whereas warehouse workers are not customer-facing. And therefore, in terms of treatment of employees as well as wage rates and so on, there's a shift underway. And that does have implications on the nature of labor and workforce and employment and so on.
Is there a next big thing in this area? I mean, a lot of people were really impressed when, you know, Amazon could deliver groceries to your house, you know, in an hour or two. Is there a next big thing in this area?
So I would forecast two next big things within the next 2 to 5 years. One would be delivery by automated systems, and they may not be just drones. I mean, drones are the flashy ones that get all the press. But I think surface delivery vehicles as well, whether they are those sidewalk robots that are being tested at various places or autonomous cars, which can come and, with a mechanical arm, deliver just outside your garage or even connect with the, you know, through the Internet of Things to be able to remotely open your garage door, pop your order inside your garage, shut your garage door remotely, and drive off. Perhaps a little bit far-fetched, perhaps a little bit futuristic, but, you know, in terms of technology, I would expect that this is possible within the next 5 years. And the other big thing that I would expect is more of customer drive-through locations and more retailers adopting drive-through systems, not just for customers to pick up their items, but also for customers to return their items. Because in e-commerce, especially if you think of things like apparel, returns are a big deal. And returning right now is not necessarily easy. You put it in a box and mail it out, and then a week later you get your money. But if you could just drive through and drop it off at a convenient location and get your money right away, I think that's an opportunity that we are also going to see more of in the next 2 to 5 years.
Amitabh Sinha is an associate professor of technology and operations at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business.